The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to share some of the lessons she's learned in her lifelong study of God's Word.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again about chastity. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, we read this. This is the will of God, that you should be holy. You must abstain from fornication. Each one of you must learn to gain mastery over his body, to hallow and honor it, not giving way to lust, like the pagans who are ignorant of God. And no man must do his brother wrong in this matter. And a footnote says, must overreach his brother in his business, or invade his rights. Because as we told you before with all emphasis, the Lord punishes all such offenses. For God called us to holiness, not to impurity. Anyone, therefore, who flouts these rules is flouting not man, but God who bestows upon you his Holy Spirit. I give you this scripture because it is the basis on which I say the things that I have to say on the subject of chastity. I didn't make the rules. I'm not dishing them out to you. I'm simply referring you to what the scripture says about fornication. Fornication is an old word that covers any kind of sexual sin. We are to abstain from fornication. It is the will of God that we should be holy. We must learn to gain mastery over our bodies. There's so much emphasis today on physical fitness. Does anyone emphasize mastery over sexual passion? Isn't that equally a part of physical fitness? Are we not to be masters of ourselves in the physical sense, in order that we may be the servants of others and the pure and chaste servants of God? Chastity is God's standard, in marriage or out of marriage. Within marriage, chastity means abstention from all unlawful sexual activities, which means all extramarital activities. And outside of marriage, chastity means no sexual activity at all. But I can hear somebody out there saying, but I gotta be me. I would ask you, what is this me? Mere flesh and blood? Do you know this me? How would you define me? Well, I don't know. I mean, I gotta be my own person. But there is no personhood except in relation to God and to others. If you're going to be your own person, what does it mean? Do you know yourself as a person outside of relationship to God and to other people? Fact is that you really don't. It's only as you get to know other people that you get to know yourself. And there's only one who really knows who you are. It's not you. It's not I. It's God. He knows who you are. He knows who I am because he is the author. He created us characters. He is going to give us a new name. We're told that nobody knows that name except God. The day will come when God will give us that name, a name which defines exactly who we are. But man is never mere flesh and blood, impulse, sex drive, need, desire, instinct. When I turn on the TV sometimes, I really feel like smashing it because they treat human beings often as though they were nothing but a big bundle of impulse and sex drive and desire. But we're made in the image of God. That means that we have understanding, we have choice, we have will, we have freedom. We are not the same as animals. Even animals are not mere bundles of sex drive. We are radically different from the animals in being made in the image of God, and we are capable of mastery over ourselves. Control of our instincts. Able to act against ourselves. When a man risks his life for another person, he is acting against what we're told is the most powerful human instinct, self-preservation. He is putting the life of that other person on a higher plane of importance than protecting himself. Who can do this? Man who is made in the image of God. Even animals have been known to do this, have risked their lives to save the life of a human being. Another aspect of our being made in God's image is that we are capable of willing to do what nature without God tells us not to do. And we are willing not to do what nature without God tells us to do. In other words, it is possible to gain mastery over ourselves, to control our instincts. Don't let anybody tell you, you gotta have sex. You gotta be yourself. You gotta be your own person. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. I said the other day that the guardian of chastity is love. If you love God enough, you will give him your chastity. Let him take care of it. Do nothing at all with your sex drive until God brings the person along to whom you are to give yourself unreservedly. If you love that future partner, even only in your imagination, that will be a powerful motivation to guard your chastity. When I was a little girl, I never wanted to know what was in the Christmas presents until Christmas morning, because that would spoil the fun. I didn't even want to know what we were going to have for dessert sometimes. I wanted to be surprised. And I suppose some of that desire carried over into my feelings about marriage. I thought marriage would be such a wonderful thing, such a pinnacle of perfection and pleasure, that I wanted to save everything for that moment when I would put myself completely in a man's arms. In other words, my love for that yet unknown husband was in some measure the guardian of my chastity. It was also my love for God. I knew that it would displease God if I gave it away. Now, before you switch off the radio, if you think that I'm talking only to those who have not given away their virginity or their chastity, bear with me, because I am going to talk to those who have given it away. But right now, I want to encourage those of you who have your virginity intact to preserve it. We are not at the mercy of our biological drives. There is no need to be victims of desire. Bring them into subjection, not only into subjection to your own will, which God gave you, but as a willed choice, give them to God for his safekeeping, his transformation, his channeling for good. What about those long, lonely evenings when you sit in your little apartment praying, hoping, desperately trying to work some kind of mental telepathy to make that phone ring? You're longing for love. God's love will keep you. But at such a time, you don't want to hear that, do you? You want something practical, something that will work. Well, I've been in your position, and all I can tell you is God is there for you. He does love you with an everlasting love. And if you will offer your longings to Him, lay your desires before Him, He knows what to do with them. He will help you. The guardian is your love for Him, which motivates you to remain pure and virgin and celibate until such time as He gives you to someone in marriage. His love for you, when you trust that love and submit in humble gratitude and obedience, is also the guardian of your chastity. Paul said to the young Timothy, "Flee youthful lusts." To put it in modern English, get yourself out of there. Remove yourself physically. We used to sing a hymn in family prayers, the chorus of which says, "Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through." That's from a hymn called "Yield Not to Temptation." You might be able to find it in an old hymn book, but here's the chorus again. "Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through." Are you willing to preserve your chastity for the love of God and for the love of that man or that woman who will be so glad that you saved yourself for him or for her?
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.